Hey there, listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your week to listen in today. We're so glad you're here and are praying this message helps you. We also want to make sure you know about our latest podcast called the Anything's Possible Podcast. We've created it specifically with you in mind because we engage in deep conversations with people who are making both an impact here at our church and all around the city of Nashville. We believe everyone has a story to tell, a step to take, and that with Jesus, anything's possible. So make sure to subscribe today to the Anything's Possible podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast. Okay, let's get you back to why you're here. Here's the latest message from Crosspoint Church.
Hey, Crosspoint. You know, over the past weeks, we've been on locations all throughout Middle Tennessee. But today, I want to bring a conversation from our home to your home. And I want to address head-on the issue of racism. And we'll start a new series called Take It or Leave It, and have a conversation about hope. But nothing's more important than what I want to say right off the top. First, I want to be clear. As a church, we stand against racism in any form. Racism is evil. It's from the pit of hell. And it's not merely a political issue. It's a gospel issue. It's a biblical issue. It's an assault on the foundational truth of the Bible that we were all made in the image of God and that Jesus gave his life for all of humanity. See, when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, not God so loved the white people, or God so loved the black people, or God so loved the Asian people, or God so loved the Hispanic people, but God so loved the world. This means that every person that you see is someone that God loves and someone Jesus died for. And as a church, when we say that everyone's welcome, it means everyone. Everyone is welcome at the foot of the cross, and everyone is welcome in our church. And we are saddened and sickened and angry and heartbroken over the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery. To the people of color on our elder board, our staff, volunteer teams, and our church and our communities, we want you to know that we are with you and that we are for you. And this makes all this even more painful to not be able to gather on the weekends. We'd love to give you a hug and let you know you're not alone. I heard a beautiful story this past weekend. Paul Cavetta, our online campus pastor, he said that there was a woman named Adrienne who, this last week, she gave us permission to share this. But this last week in the 9 a.m. service, she said that she was scared and sad as a black woman. And Paul reached out to her to see if he could pray with her. And he found out that she lived close by in Mount Juliet. And they met up to pray. And he said, I'll never forget that she told me, I just hope that people will see me for who I am and not for the color of my skin. I just hope that my neighbors will have a conversation with me before they call the cops because a black woman's walking through the neighborhood. I just hope that people wouldn't feel intimidated by my appearance, but that they'd take the time to get to know me. He said, we met up to pray and we talked, and she gave me perspective and she extended her friendship. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying that there'd be thousands more conversations and relationships like that, because that's the kingdom of God. Not a white church or a black church, but a Jesus church. That we would share our lives and that we'd stand in solidarity with one another and we would oppose racism wherever we find it. It starts in our hearts, in our homes, in our church, and then in the world. And maybe you're wondering, like, what's the next step? What can you do? Well, there's a lot that we can do, but let me give you a next step. We are learning together. I'm learning in this. We are learning together, and this is a discipleship issue, and we're wanting to learn. And so we've put together a list of resources. Our team has put together a list of resources that we found helpful and that have helped us in our learning. We want to share them with you so that you can have conversations with your kids and with your family. And you can find it at crosspoint.tv/educate. You know, Jesus said, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. And this is how they'll know that you're with me. This is how they'll know you belong to me, that you love one another. And Crosspoint can be known for a lot of things, but loving God and loving others is what matters most. And so today we begin a new series called Take It or Leave It, where we're talking about what we want to take and what we want to leave from the past 3 months. I just wonder, like, is anybody with me on just leaving 2020 altogether? I mean, there were a couple astronauts. They're like, we are out. Like, we're leaving this thing. And listen, we may want to escape, But God's put us all on this planet for such a time as this. He's given us a hope and a future, and we didn't get to choose whether or not we'd want to live through a pandemic or in times like this, but we do get to choose how we're going to live on the other side of it. You know, life is full of choices, which so is the grocery store, which reminds me, I've got some groceries I got to put away. I'll meet you in the kitchen. No, welcome to the kitchen, right? Now, here's the deal. I feel like I've been to the grocery store more in the past 3 months than any other time in my life. During the quarantine, I found the difference between introverts and extroverts. Extroverts, we were like, grocery store? Like, did somebody say grocery store? I will go. I don't care. I will risk my life. Just let me see some people. Any extroverts out there, raise your hand. Put your hand up in the chat, right? And introverts are like, nope. I will ship it. I will Instacart. I will quick list. I don't care. I will pay whatever. I will refinance my house just as long as I don't have to leave my house and see some people. Introverts, raise your hand. Really, raise your hand. I know you're holding your hand back, but like during that quarantine, go to the grocery store, and that grocery store is a place where we make choices. And at the grocery store, we make choices because we got decisions to make. We got varieties. I mean, just think about it. There are thousands of varieties at the grocery store. Like if let's just say we want cookies. I got sugar-free. Nobody cares about sugar-free cookies. We got Nutter Butters. We at the grocery store, there are 285 varieties of cookies. Let's say we narrow it down to chocolate chip. Just chocolate chip, there are 21 options of chocolate chips. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we have those friends that try to help us and they'll say like, hey, have you ever had that soft batch? A soft batch is good, like that is amazing. You gotta get the soft batch. Don't get the Chips Ahoy, get the soft batch. That soft batch, that'll change your life. You know, friends like that, they tell you that cookie's gonna change your life. But let's just be honest, like a chocolate chip cookie's not gonna change your life. It might change your mood, and if you eat enough of them, it will change your waistline, but it's not gonna change your life. But there are choices that do change our lives. There are choices like we make the choice to love, and we make the choice to serve, and we make the choice to forgive, choice to humble ourselves. The choice to listen, the choice to pray, the choice to worship, the choice to be kind. They say that our lives are a sum of the choices we make. And none of us chooses to live through a global pandemic, but we all get to choose how we're gonna live on the other side of it. We have to choose what we're gonna take and what we're gonna leave behind. And today, I wanna be that friend who comes alongside you and says, whatever you do, something you gotta take hope. Like, take hope with you. Take a big old family-sized box of hope with you wherever you go. And we use that word hope a lot, but what does it mean? And where do you get it? And how do we know when we've lost it? And so what I'd like to do is start with a definition. If you're taking notes, you can write it down. Hope is future-oriented faith. That's my favorite definition of hope. Hope is future-oriented faith. It's this confident expectation that good is coming, that things may not be good now and they may not feel good now, but good is on the way because God is good. And hope is what gets us up. It's what keeps us up. It's what keeps us going. When we're sick, it's hope that keeps us moving forward. You know, over the past few weeks, I've been inspired by Isaiah's story. Isaiah has been a part of Crosspoint for years, and he and his wife, they both contracted the virus, and he was in the hospital for 53 days. You may have seen his picture in the Tennessean. The doctor at that hospital said that he was the sickest person with COVID-19 that they had at the hospital, and now Isaiah's at home, and he's healing. You know, I talked with him this week, and he said, Kevin, he said, hope is what kept me moving forward. Hope is what kept me fighting. He said, hope is what I received from my family. Hope is what I got from the doctors and the nurses. He said, I was hopeful to see my kids again. And when you're stuck in a room like that, it's hope that pulls you forward. You know, hope is a powerful thing. Hope reminds me of a conversation that another Isaiah had about it. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, let me read this scripture to you. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah, we're praying that you're running soon, and we're proud of you. See, hope is like the windshield of life. Now, when I go to the grocery store, I've got two pieces of glass that help me navigate my way, help me get my way to the grocery store. I've got a little rectangular piece of glass that hangs down, and it tells me what's behind me. It's called the rearview mirror. But then there's a windshield, a much bigger piece of glass. It's 100 times larger. I did the math. It's 100 times larger than the rearview mirror, and it shows me what's in front of me. And I have a choice to make. I have a choice. Am I going to focus on the windshield, or am I going to focus on the rearview? If I focus on the rearview, I'm going to hurt myself, or I'm going to hurt somebody else. But if I'm focused on what's in front of me, then I can get somewhere. You know, I can't move into the future when I'm focused on the past. And maybe you've got some regret. As you look back over the last 3 months, as you look back over the last week, maybe you've got some regret. Maybe you said some things or you did some things that you wish you could change. And when you hear people say, sometimes you hear people say, I hear people say, man, the quarantine was such a peaceful time, such a restful time. I loved it. Maybe you hear people say things like that and you think, well, it wasn't like that for me, and you want to punch them in the throat. But you don't punch them in the throat, right? Don't punch them in the throat. Maybe that's what you've feel regret over, but know that none of us have navigated the past 3 months perfectly. God gives grace for that. The Bible says if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so what do we do with our past sin? We confess it to God and we receive his forgiveness. You know, if I was teaching my 15-year-old Camden, Raleigh's 16, Camden's 15, y'all pray for me. But if I was teaching Camden how to drive, and and she continued to look at that rearview mirror, continued to concentrate on that rearview mirror, I'd say, no, Camden, you can't look there. You look ahead, but you focus on what is ahead. You can glance at the past through the rearview mirror. You can glance at what's behind you, but Camden, you can't focus there. Listen, we admit where we're wrong. We say we're sorry. We learn from our mistakes, but we can't live there. Hope is the windshield of faith that moves us forward, that pulls us into the future. And as we're talking about windshields, I wonder, have you ever had a crack in your windshield? You know, earlier this year, I was driving down to Atlanta, and there was an 18-wheeler that kicked up a rock, and it hit the windshield, and it made this tiny little mark that pretty soon over time in the winter, in the cold, it began to spread. And it began to affect everything that I saw. And I had to get a new windshield because of that tiny little mark that left unattended, it spread over time. That's a picture of hope deferred. Proverbs 13:12 is this powerful verse. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Listen, when our hope takes a hit, it can affect, if it's not attended to, it can affect everything that we see. It can affect the way that we see the world. And this year, there have been so many things that have hit our hope. There have been so many times that our hope has been deferred. And so many things that we were hoping for, we were dreaming for, we were planning for, that didn't happen like we thought they should. Graduations that were missed, weddings that didn't get to happen, trips that didn't take place, sports seasons that were canceled, senior years that were missed. So many times that hope was deferred, but it reminds me of the scripture in James. It's James chapter 4, verse 13. It's just real talk. James is the brother of Jesus. He says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. James doesn't say don't hope. He says bring your hopes under the sovereignty of God, under the will of God, that you bring your hopes to God and you trust God with your hopes. Bring your hopes to Him. Listen, you need someone you can put your hope in that is bigger than the thing you're hoping for, because we're all going to hope. We were made to hope. God has made us to hope. So how do we think about hope, especially in a world where there is so much suffering and there is so much pain and there is so much hope deferred? There is so much heart sickness in our world. How do we think about hope? I read something in a book by John Eldridge, and it was in a book called All Things New, and it's super helpful when we think about hope. He says there are essentially three kinds of hope. There's casual hope, there's precious hopes, and there's ultimate hopes. So it's like when you're on the hope aisle at the grocery store and you're looking for hope, there are three varieties, three categories. First, casual hope. Casual hopes, this is like the daily kind of hope. This is like, I hope we get ice cream, or I hope it doesn't rain this weekend, or I hope we get to go to the lake, or I hope we go on vacation. When I think about casual hopes, I think about a casual hope that was deferred for us. It was during the pandemic, I think back even 10 years ago, Rhea and I, we made a plan 10 years ago to celebrate our 20-year anniversary in Hawaii with our kids. Some of you are thinking, like, that doesn't sound like a hope, an anniversary trip, like taking the kids. But we thought the kids would be old enough to enjoy it. And so we actually opened up a bank account, like a little savings account, and we named it Hawaii. And we just stashed away money every month for that trip. And so hope saved for the trip. Hope booked a hotel. Hope, you know, rented a car. Hope paid for airline tickets in February, before everything shut down. But we still held on to hope during the quarantine that maybe this thing will go away, maybe we'll be able to go. And then I read an article that said that the Aloha spirit is gone, right? That Hawaii doesn't want tourists right now. And so we canceled our trip. That's casual hope deferred. But then there are precious hopes. And precious hopes are the more serious kinds. It's like, I hope the pregnancy goes well, or I hope the cancer doesn't come back, or I hope that the relationship works out and that I get engaged, or I hope that my aging parents stay healthy through all this pandemic. Like, there are precious hopes in our lives, but then there are ultimate hopes, and ultimate hopes are the life and death kind of hopes. These are the life and death hopes. This is like, I hope that God forgives me. Or I hope that somehow my mistakes and my past can be redeemed. Or I hope for peace with God. These are ultimate hopes. Now, Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but longing fulfilled is the what? It's the tree of life. So in other words, if you want to know if you've experienced hope deferred, just ask your heart. Your heart will tell you. See, if a casual hope has been deferred, then we'll end up with disappointment. We're sad. Maybe we're downcast for a few days. But when precious hopes are deferred, it breaks your heart. Like you can carry this around with you for weeks or even months or even years. But when it comes to ultimate hope, like, we weren't made to live without ultimate hope, even a day. Like, we weren't made to live without it. And one of the tricky things of this past season is, like, with everything going on, it's possible to get our hopes out of whack, to get our hopes out of order, where our casual hopes can become precious hopes, and our precious hopes can become ultimate hopes. And if we ever get to a place where we wonder if life is worth living, it usually means that we've taken a precious hope and we've made it an ultimate hope. And Jesus says, I'm the only one that's worth your ultimate hope. I'm the only one who can sustain that. I love this story in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus tells a story. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a treasure in a field, and he went and sold everything he had, and he went and he bought that field. He didn't want the field. He wanted the treasure, and it was worth everything. He found ultimate hope worth more than anything in this world. Jesus is the treasure. He's the only one worthy of your ultimate hope. Longing fulfilled is the tree of life. Jesus is longing fulfilled. There are eternal longings in our hearts that only He can fill. And so we can't put our ultimate hope in things or in people or in circumstances. I know He might make a good boyfriend, but He can't hold your ultimate hope, because we've all done enough trips around the sun to know that there are things and there are situations and there are circumstances and there are people that are going to disappoint us, because we live in a broken world. We live in a broken world that's filled with uncertainty, and we need a hope. We need a hope that does not disappoint. And that comes from putting our ultimate hope in God. And you know what I've learned? Is that it's okay to be sad when hope is deferred. I think I grew up in a faith tradition where the message that I don't know that it was what was said, but the message I took away is that it's a sin to be sad, and that we should be glad all the time. Now, I'm all for smiling and I'm all for being glad. But I think I thought, like, we've got to be that way all the time, which forces to pretend. And what I'm learning is that it's possible to have joy and sorrow in the same heart at the same time. Because there are times when we just need to be sad. As a church, as a people, as a parent, as a human, to be sad in this world over the brokenness and hurt in this world. And one of the real reasons that I was most sad about missing the trip to Hawaii is because I wanted to escape. I mean, I wanted to celebrate our anniversary and I wanted to be with the family, but I'm just real talk, like, I wanted to get away. I want to get away from COVID. I want to get away from the pain. I want to get away from tornadoes. I want to get away from all the complexities and all the brokenness and all the injustice and all the hatred in this world. I want to get away from that. But you know what I learned through all of this, as I searched out my heart in the sadness, is that, you know what? There's no way to get away. There's nowhere to get away. There's no way to get away. There's nowhere to escape to. There's no island where brokenness doesn't exist. I mean, even those guys that were going up into space, they're like, we're getting away from it all, but they're taking brokenness with them, and they've got to come back. And we can't escape the suffering, because we live in a world with suffering. And what we see is that Jesus didn't escape suffering. He entered into it with hope. He entered into the brokenness and the injustice and the oppression and the sadness of this world. He didn't escape the suffering. He considered equality with God not something to be held on to, but He made Himself a servant. He took the form of a servant. He showed us what it looks like to enter into suffering, and He served. And Hebrews tells us, great scripture, it says that for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. He scorned its shame. And hope is what pulled Him through the suffering of the cross. Hope is what pulled Him through the pain and the agony of the crucifixion. Hope is what pulled Him into and through the resurrection. What was the hope? The hope is you. The hope was you, that you would be forgiven, that you would be made right with God, that you would be restored, that you would find purpose in Him, that you would find life with God, and you would be with Him forever. That was the hope that pulled Him through, is to please the Father and to make a way for you to know God, and that we would spend forever with Him. And this world is not our home. This world is not our home. We live in a broken, fallen world, but we have an eternal hope. This tells me that one day He will right every wrong, and that He will bring justice, and that He will make all things new. And he'll wipe the tear from every eye, and there will be no more pain, and there will be no more sorrow, and there will be no more hope deferred. It will be the ultimate longing fulfilled. And that hope is what pulls us through. So what do we do until that day? What do we do until all things are made new? How do we live in a broken world where we face disappointment and we face pain and hope is deferred? When we can't live hopeless, that's not an option. So if I was gonna give you two things, first, I would say, make sure that you make Jesus your ultimate hope. He's the only one who can sustain it. Politics can't hold your ultimate hope. Other people can't hold your ultimate hope. Your plans for the future can't hold your ultimate hope. Only Jesus can do that. But when we put our ultimate hope in Christ, Scripture tells us we put our ultimate hope in Him that we become a new creation. In other words, He gives you a new windshield. He gives you a new perspective to see the world. He gives you the ability to dream and to imagine and hope again for what's possible in your life by the presence and the power of God. Listen, He's the only one. He's the only one who can handle all of your heartache. And He has suffered for you, and He suffered with you. Scripture tells us that He knows what we're going through. He knows by experience. So you're gonna make something or someone your ultimate hope. And Jesus is the only one who can handle the weight of that. So the first would be make Jesus your ultimate hope. Second would be when hope is deferred, here's what I'd love for you to do. Get really good at naming the disappointment. I think we can all grow and learn in getting really good at naming and categorizing what it is. Was it a casual hope? Was it a precious hope? Or is it an ultimate hope? Look back over the past 3 months, graduations, weddings, senior years, loss of a job, haven't seen family, injustice. It's okay to talk about it, and it's okay to be sad. And when casual hope becomes precious hope, there's usually something else going on. If 3 years from now, if I was still sad about missing an anniversary trip to Hawaii, and I was still downcast about that, that'd be a pretty good sign that there's something else going on in here. But I want you to know, it's okay to be sad. I want to encourage you, talk about your sorrow to God. In the Psalms, there's this concept, how long, O Lord, how long, O Lord, how long? That's hope language. That's hope talking. You need to talk about it with God. Talk about it with a friend. And one of the most common refrains is that, how long, O Lord? And one of the most helpful conversations to have with a friend is to share with them when hope is deferred. You need a friend like that. We need to be a friend like that. But one thing I just encourage you is, like, don't judge another person. You don't get to choose what's a casual hope and a precious hope for them. We don't get to make that choice. Like, they have to sort that out with God. But what you can do is come alongside them and listen. Because I think one of the most hurtful things that we can do is treat somebody else's precious hope as a casual hope. Let me say that again. We don't treat someone's precious hope as a casual hope, because Jesus never did that. He loved people. He listened to people. He entered into their suffering. He gave them His attention. He gave them His heart. He gave them hope. Church, there's no escaping the suffering in our world. We walk through this together. We share our lives with one another. We pray for one another, and we share hope. Yeah, I want to go back to those hopes that Adriana, that she shared with PK at the beginning. She said, I hope that people see me for who I am, and not for the color of my skin. She said, I hope my neighbors have a conversation with me before they call the cops because a black woman is walking through the neighborhood. She said, I hope that people won't feel intimidated by my appearance, but that they'd take the time to get to know me. Those are precious hopes. And those are precious hopes for all of us. Because I believe those are precious hopes for God. Jesus is our ultimate hope. And because Jesus is our ultimate hope, I believe that there's hope for that. So as you look back over the past 3 months, I want to encourage you, take hope. Take hope. Take a big old box, Costco box of hope. Even if you have to make a special trip for, like, the go get whatever it costs you, take hope. But I'd encourage you to look, what do I need to leave behind? Maybe you've been trying to escape. Maybe it's escapism. And there are a lot of different ways to escape. Maybe it's regret. Maybe you keep looking at the rearview mirror and you're beating yourself up over what's happened in the past and you need to leave it at the foot of the cross. Or maybe it's stuffing down your sorrow and it's wearing you out trying to hold it down. And you need to just be sad. Maybe let other people be sad too. And maybe most importantly, and it is most importantly, but maybe true for you, you need to make Jesus your ultimate hope. Maybe there's something else that's having that ultimate hope place in your life. You need to reorder your heart that he would be your ultimate hope. Because those who hope in the Lord, he will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will walk and not grow weary. They will run and not grow faint. And we want to see you run. So here's what I'd like to do. And we're going to do something we've never done before. Okay? And this might be awkward, but sometimes we have to press into awkward to grow. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you some space. And maybe you're sitting around the living room right now and you got your family, everybody around, introverts and extroverts hanging out. Like maybe you're just sitting alone. It's just you and God. But I'd like for you to take a few moments, a few minutes of silence, just to ask and to listen. To ask God, God, search my heart. Let me give you a couple questions. The first one is like, God, where has my hope been deferred in my life? And then when you can name it, categorize it. Is it casual? Is it precious? Or has it become ultimate? Now, if you're gonna take hope, next question is, what do you need to leave behind? Trying to escape? Trying to live in the past? Trying to pretend? So what do you need to leave behind? And then what I want you to think about those questions, and then I want to come back and I want to lead you in a prayer. I want to lead you in a prayer of putting your ultimate hope in Jesus. God reveals those things to us. And listen, today, if you want to make Jesus your ultimate hope, I want to invite you to do something. I want to invite you to pray with me. So I'd invite everyone, if you just bow your heads and your hearts before God, and if you want to put your ultimate hope in Jesus, you're saying, I need a hope in life that won't disappoint. I need a hope in life that I can hold on to. Then I would invite you to just make a prayer like this your prayer. You can just pray something like this with your heads bowed before God and your heart directed toward him. Just pray something like this. Jesus, thank you for entering into my suffering. Thank you for enduring the suffering of the cross for me. Right now, I put my hope in you. I make you my ultimate hope for this life and for eternity. So I ask you to make me new. Give me a new heart. Give me a new hope. I give my life to you. I want to follow you here on earth and spend forever with you in heaven. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Listen, if you made that your prayer today, about what the Bible says is that the angels break out in a party. Like there is a party in heaven going on over that. And we want to party with you. We want to celebrate with you. We've got maybe some party size. We got party size. I would give you Chips Ahoy. I give you Soft Batch. But we want to celebrate with you. And so here's what I'd love for you to do. I'd love for you to text the word LIFE to 615, number on the screen, 615-270-2428. And we would love to hear about what God's doing in your life. We would love to give you some encouragement and to help you take next steps in your faith. And we'd love for you to grow in what it means for Jesus to be your ultimate hope. And church, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I look forward to next week, because next week we're going to continue the conversation and we're going to talk about what it means to take grace and to leave judgment behind. It's a conversation for all of us. We'll see you.